Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Genesis, chapter 32, we have a strange event that takes place. Jacob is returning home to the land of Canaan from his long sojourn with Laban. And he's coming with great possessions, with family. And he's coming home, but he's afraid because the last he had heard about his brother Esau was that Esau wanted him dead because he had cheated his brother out of his birthright and he had cheated him out of the patriarchal blessing. And so Esau was angry. And Jacob, coming home after all these years, was afraid that Esau had been nursing this anger and that he was going to get it. So Jacob sends all of his family across the river, and he's all by himself. And the Bible says that there wrestled with him a man all throughout the night, and that when it began to become daylight, the man who was wrestling with him said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And to make a long story short, Jacob prevailed in this wrestling match, and he was blessed. Now, the thing we must remember is that the book of Hosea, chapter 12, tells us that this man that Jacob wrestled with was the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. So we have this wrestling match between Jacob and the Son of God. And that's important for us today because we have another wrestling match. We have a wrestling match between Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Messiah, the Son of God, and this woman of Canaan. And she will not let him go until he blesses her. And he is delighted with her persistence. And that's what is being given to us today. All right? That when we experience trials of our faith, we are not to give up in despair and go and hang our heads. But we are to persist in the faith that God, for whatever reason he is allowing us to be tried, he is gracious and he will be gracious. Now, in order to understand this story, there's a little travelogue detail that you have to keep in mind. Jesus was with his disciples in Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, and he goes and travels with them all the way to the borders of Phoenicia, Tyre and Sidon. So he goes way out of his way, up into the middle of nowhere. The only thing he does when he gets there is deal with this woman, and then after he deals with her, he goes right back to the Sea of Galilee. So, the little hidden thing that you may not pick up when you read this, if you're not paying attention, is that Jesus anticipated this woman's need. He came to help her, and he came for no other reason than to be there when this woman would seek him out, and he, once he dealt with her in graciousness, he went right back to the Sea of Galilee. All right? We must never give in to the temptation to think when we are being tried that God hates us. All right? Jesus comes and he treats this woman pretty rough. All right? He really tests her faith. But he has already shown us that he came for no other reason than to deal with her. And when she prevails against him, he is delighted with her faith and her persistence, and he commends it to us. All right? What kind of trials of faith are we being shown here? Well, the first trial of faith is that this woman, who is obviously not an immoral woman, she obviously knows some good theology because she calls Jesus Son of David, which means Messiah. Her daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. That is, her daughter has demonic problems. She's demon-possessed. All right? And this woman has to deal with this terrible affliction upon this daughter of hers who is grievously afflicted by this demon. So, sometimes in life, sickness comes. Financial setbacks come. Spiritual problems of various kinds. Suddenly, out of nowhere, just when you don't need it, you have to have a repair made on your house. And now you gotta cook up all the money, you gotta do all the stuff. There are times in life when we have troubles. Here, this is a very grievous trouble. This little girl has been possessed by a devil. And so it is. What does this woman do in the midst of this terrible, terrible trouble? She hears that Jesus has come to her vicinity, and she goes to him, confesses that he is the Messiah, calls him her Lord, and begs him for mercy for her daughter. So you see, she has a terrible affliction in her life. She doesn't let that affliction destroy her faith, but she is moved by that affliction to come to where Jesus is and to confess him in truth and to seek his mercy. So the first affliction that we often experience is some kind of outward physical affliction. And we are to hold on to faith in Jesus and trust in him, confess him, and seek his help. The second affliction is when it appears as if God is taking his good, sweet time in answering our prayers. How many times haven't you had the experience in your life where you have prayed and you have prayed and nothing happens? And God delays his answer to your prayer. Here, she comes and she confesses her faith. She prays for God's mercy. She prays in just the right way. And it says that Jesus ignored her. He answered her not a word. He ignored her. Made believe she wasn't even there. This was so intense that even the disciples come to him and say, "Jesus, what are you doing? Give her what she wants and send her away. This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing." All right? And Jesus ignores her. Right? Sometimes, in order for us to exercise our faith, in order that our faith may be proven and tested, God allows the troubles in our life to be extended and he defers sending his help and his answer for the benefit of the exercise of our faith. Why? Because as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, tribulation worketh patience. That is, God is inculcating in us by means of training. You know, if you go into a very rigorous physical exercise regimen, your body will become toned and muscular. You start out flabby and fat, and then you get toned and you get muscular when you engage in a good exercise program. Well, in a way, that's what God wants to do with our faith. He wants us to learn to exercise it. And so sometimes he permits affliction to come into our life, and he delays his help and his answer so that we will learn to cling to his word and to wait for him, even though it appears as if our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and hitting us back in the top of the head. So his disciples, he's ignoring her. The disciples are like, do what she wants, so she goes away. This is embarrassing. Now we come to the third trial of faith. The first one is external tribulations. The second one is when God seems to delay his help and his answer. And the third one is the idea that God's promises do not apply to me. One of the things that happens in the life of a person who is afflicted is that when they read their Bibles and they listen to the promises of God about his grace, his mercy, his help, they say to themselves, yeah, but that only applies to good people. This stuff doesn't really apply to me. I'm not the right kind of person. And therefore, these promises are not for me, and I can't trust them. That's what happens here. Jesus says to the woman, to the disciples, actually, he says, I am only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This woman is a Gentile. She is from Tyre and Sidon. As a matter of fact, she's not only a Gentile, she's a Canaanite woman, which means that she comes from the ancient people whom the Israelites dispossessed when they conquered the promised land. You read in the book of Joshua and Judges. She was a Canaanite woman. So boy, she had a lot of stripes against her. And Jesus says, I am not sent to Canaanites. I am not sent to the Gentiles. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How does she respond to this? She will not accept the idea that God's grace does not include anyone who is in need. She hangs on to the promise, even though she has been tempted to believe that the promise doesn't apply to her. She nevertheless clings to it and will not let it go. She says, Lord, help me. And then he says, and this is like the, you talk about the coup de grace of put downs. She's saying, help me. She's on her knees. She's, Lord, help me. He says, you know, it's not appropriate to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. Wow. Right? Not only is she suffering physical affliction, not only is it seeming like Jesus is ignoring her and that God is delaying his help, not only is she tempted to believe that she's not the right kind of person. The promises of God don't really apply to her because she's not the right kind of person. But now she's being tempted to believe that she is an unworthy dog. It's not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Now, most people at that point would have put their tail between their legs and gone home and accepted defeat, right? But this woman listens to what Jesus says, and she finds the golden nugget in this very negative statement. She says, "Truth, Lord." She says, "What you're saying is true. Yet, even the puppies get the crumbs which fall from the master's table." That's the grace of God at work. That somebody can be standing in your face going, "No!" And somehow you can see, "Yes!" Right? She hung on to faith. The wind of tribulation is blowing in her face like a hurricane. And she grabs onto this one idea of the puppies under the table. It's not right to take the children's food and give it to dogs. She goes, "Yeah, but even the puppies in the household get the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And you who have dogs, you know it. You know that. No, don't feed the dog with the food from the table, right? And what? So kids are constantly giving food to the dogs. You know. The point is, she is so focused on who Jesus is, what he has come to do. She's so focused on his unbreakable promises and his sure mercies that nothing that he says will deter her from trusting in him. So she says, "Yes, Lord, you are right." She acknowledges the truth of his statement. She still calls him Lord, and she finds a reason to continue to hope in his mercy. Even the dogs get the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And when she says this, Jesus is utterly delighted with her. He is delighted that no matter what he did, she would not give up. And of course, he's talking to us through all of this. Because we experience those things. You know, we go to pray for a problem. We go, "Yeah, but my prayer, I'm not worthy," right? And we allow the devil to rob us of confidence because we may be thinking about some sin we committed, or we may be thinking about our poor church attendance or whatever it is that we're thinking. We say, "I'm not worthy." And so we cheat ourselves of the grace of God. Or we think, "I'm not the right kind of person." You know, God's promises are for the fine, upstanding citizens of society, not for people like me. And we rob ourselves of the faith of God. Or we think that if God loved me, he would never let this trouble come into my life. Right? None of these things are biblical, but we think these things. Or we start to pray and we don't get an answer right away and give up in despair. No. Who is your master? Who is your Lord? Who is he and what has he come to do? Cling to that, trust it and believe it, and do not let it go. Jesus says, "Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." He says, "You win. You win. I give up." Right? Jesus loves it when we cling to his word and we hold out in the time of trouble and tribulation. He loves it when he is able to bless us in the aftermath of a period of trial. And the only way that we can do this is if we remember who is Jesus, what has he come to do, what has he promised to every sinner. And when we keep these things in our mind, we are strengthened in faith and able to overcome in our time of trial. Amen.